What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H. It's a Die Hard Simpson podcast. Oh my god.
Chris Farley?
Yeah, it's Chris Farley. Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck?
Very well.
Oh, unbelievable.
Look, I'm out of practice. Yeah, I'm very well, Terry. Very
I
well.
Too am well. I too
Good
am
to
well.
Good to hear it. Now listen.
Yeah. Happy bleeding New Year.
Yes.
We're recording this on Jan 1st.
Yes. I told Terry last week, I'm not doing another podcast in 2020. 2020 is, I've had enough of it.
Yeah.
So we're here.
And you know what? You were dead right.
How the bloody hell have you been, you old sod?
Yeah, good, yeah. Christmas was good, it was quiet, ate a lot, drank a lot.
Did you brush them like
brushed
crazy?
Brushed them like crazy.
Good.
Yeah, well, you got it, don't you?
Well, this is it.
Well, we needed it.
I don't even know what we're talking about already.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was, you know, a very relaxing time. And sure, what could you be doing in these times we're in,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good. Bonnie had a good one anyway?
She had a good one. We got her her first doll. We got her her first doll, a rag doll.
Nice.
Hold on, I'll get her for you. You can see.
Oh, okay.
This is the aesthetic we're going for.
Nice.
None of this plastic Barbie shite.
Yeah.
Like,
nice, soft and cuddly, huh?
Absolutely. And she bloody loves it. It's great.
Good. Brilliant.
So that worked out well. And then we had a bunch of toys to give her blocks and stuff like that. And
nice.
She got a load of stuff off aunties and uncles and stuff. So it was great. You know.
Did she like grasp any concept of like when she went into the room that like presents were for her, or did she just sort of go over and start?
No, it's when because we got presents before Christmas, she kind of understood like, oh, wrapping paper.
Yeah.
And like you give her something wrapped, she'll try and take it off and then eat the paper and then be like, no, not the paper. The thing inside the paper is what you want.
Yeah.
She still wants the paper.
And the boxes.
Yes. Oh, yes. But no, she like next year will be the year, really. Like,
yeah.
You know,
because
I'll be able to tell her, if you're not good, you get no presents.
You finally get to play that Santa card. That's very.
Oh, I've been waiting. I've been waiting. Not that she's ever any grief, to be honest.
I know.
But like, I just want to be able to say, you'll get a lump of coal. Yeah.
There's loads of traditions nowadays that like we never did, like as kids.
Like what?
Like matching pajamas.
I saw that.
Elf on the shelf.
Yeah. Do you have
never
an elf on the shelf?
We do. Well, it's not really on the shelf, but like every morning, I tell you, having to think of new and imaginative ways this elf could be doing something.
Yeah.
Was quite challenging after like week two, but she loved
it. I did hear that it was like you kind of make a rod for your own back if you go too much all out, like, you know, and then it's like, oh, God. Well, now Elfo was doing a handstand on the TV.
Yeah. It starts off mad elaborate, like, oh, there's a little thing and he's hanging on to him and he's hanging on to this. And now it's just like, oh, he's sitting here now.
He's sitting here. He's dipped his dick in your milk. Oh, that naughty elf.
Nice, wholesome family tradition. He's dipped his dick in your mouth. Oh, mercy.
I will say I've had a beer already today, so you know what.
Brilliant.
And you know
keep it coming.
Let's just keep it coming, all right?
Let's get this out of the way. What do you got there?
Hold on, let me open it first. It's a bottle. Oh, maybe that. Hopefully that sounded good on mic.
It did. It sounded good to me.
Now,
what
this
is it?
It's a white gypsy woodcock.
Racist.
Because it's white and it's a woodcock. I don't know if it's a pale ale. It's a woodcock pale ale.
So, come on, woodcock. Get real.
Are you watching a lot of The Office lately? Like, that was very Brent-esque, that delivery.
You know what,
look at this. It's the perfect amount.
Okay, in your 440ml glass.
Yeah,
that's the part I can't get over.
It's a pint, It's a pint. It's a pint glass.
I don't know. You had one time. Go on, have a sip. I'll tell you folks the real story. You're making the face before it even hits your lips.
No. Mm. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Now, I got this as a gift, right?
So you have to do the dance on the mic. I get it.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Brian Arnold, and his lovely wife sent me over a care package full of beer and crisps.
Brian, he's just held up a sign to me that says, "It's fucking awful."
How very dare you.
Well, I'll see you.
Oh, what have you got? Coke Zero?
You know it, friend.
Now, didn't you know? You know the way it's zero sugar in Coke Zero?
Yeah.
I was always under the impression that it was caffeine-free, but apparently not. A buttload of caffeine, and unless it says caffeine-free Coke Zero, there's caffeine in it, my friend.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, me too. I just,
I'm not seeing it here, Terry.
It's
zero
there.
Zero sugar, no calories. Okay, fine.
Look at the ingredients, though. In the ingredients, it'll say caffeine.
I need the caffeine.
Me too.
I'm running on stimulants all day. If it's not coffee in the morning, it's caffeine from Coke Zero in the afternoon.
I was trying to... There's something there about that word stimulant. There's a joke there.
I heard it.
There's a joke to be made.
Anyway.
Let me ask you, did you watch anything over the Christmas period?
Yes, I did. I watched... I tell you, first of all, we had ourselves a little... First of all, we had ourselves a little panto party in the house. The Helix Panto, we streamed.
Dad
Joni's cousins up and all this sort of stuff. They got matching pajamas for me. I had to get in it. Died a little inside, but, you know, that's fine. And, it was actually really good. Like, I didn't expect much of it, to be honest, but it was a proper, like, panto.
Who was in it?
I don't know. I don't know any of that.
There was nobody like, you know, like...
No. It wasn't exactly the West End, we'll say.
But it needs to be like, and Les Dennis as the genie, or, you know, like...
Chances are there was people. I think maybe there was a few people Twink? From Fair City in there. Thankfully, no Twink. But that was good.
National institution.
I'll tell you something I watched, and this is going to come as a shock to you, Terry. I've changed my mind on a movie. I watched, finally, The Godfather, Part 1.
Yes, Andy.
And let me tell you, it is, brace yourselves, it's brilliant. I don't know what my problem was. It's the podcast, Terry. The podcast has changed me. I'm more open now.
I feel like I have, like, I'm a faith healer or something like that. Like, I feel like I've performed a miracle here with you.
You have, Terry. It's
like, the fact that, like, you would always turn around and be like, no, shy,
boring.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's fucking amazing.
Did not notice the 3 hours got. It's like a work of art. It's less a movie and it's more like a piece of art.
Yes, you know very much so. Where have you been for the last fucking 25 years? Plus 30
and
years,
I'll tell
whatever,
you,
40
like this,
years.
Yeah, 72. Yeah. And this is how... This is how, like, I was watching it and, like, Tony was there. We were in my dad's watching it and...
There it is. That's Tony, the guy. Tony got you over the line.
And I was watching it and I was saying, this is... Because he knows to speak to me on my level. I was watching, like, the character Sonny, you know, like suck my Italian sausage from the Mafia parody. Yeah. See, this is the terrible thing. I know The Godfather through the Mafia parody almost. I'm like, oh, that's like Mafia, that scene in Mafia.
Mafia's a classic. Don't but I was like, disregard. Who's
that? And I was like, do I know him from something? And he's like, yeah, he's the dad in Elf. I was like, thank you. Like James Caan.
You know what he should have said?
Because I just watched
villain, the villain in Bulletproof. That's what he should have said. If he really wanted to speak to that level. Who knows you, huh?
That's true. I've watched both in the last 2 months. But it was brilliant. So I'm very much looking forward to watching Godfather 2.
Godfather 2 is brilliant. Yeah. You should watch. So Coppola had like an unbelievable run. It was like Godfather, The Conversation, Godfather 2 are like three of the best regarded movies.
I never heard of The Conversation.
Conversation is brilliant. Gene Hackman plays a guy. He's like, how would I describe him? He's like a listening expert in that, like, he bugs people for the government.
Oh, right.
And like, so that's his job. And he's a kind of fucking weird.
70s, like, was it?
Yeah, 74, I think.
Nice.
I think, and like, he made it in between the first and second Godfather. But they talk about that being like the three almost perfect movies in a row.
Right.
Like, you couldn't get better than this guy, the run he was on. That's really good.
I'm far more open now to good. But it has to be, if you're giving me early 70s, it's got to be really good. You know what I mean? It can't just be good for then.
This is going to work perfectly for the Patreon stuff down the line. Let me tell you, if you're getting a bit more open, I want to get really.
Well, now, Terry, let's not go crazy here. Baby steps here.
Any Christmas movies apart from Elf?
Christmas Chronicles 1 and 2, you know that very well. And what else? I watched Elf. Elf was actually better than I remember. It's not that I didn't rate Elf. I loved it when I first seen it, and then I kind of thought it was maybe a bit overrated because people keep going on about it. But I watched it again, and I was like, you know what? Featuring, of course, a character from this week's episode of The Simpsons, Bob Newhart, everybody.
It was
great.
It is a like subtly stacked cast.
Yeah,
in that, like, you got Will Ferrell, you got Newhart in there as well, but then you got like James Caan is doing good stuff.
James Caan's great. I love James Caan now.
Kyle Gass, Andy Richter, Dinklage. Yeah. I think it's Amy Sedaris as well as the other. Yeah. She's the assistant. She's great. Okay. You got Zoe
Deschanel. Yeah,
Deschanel.
Deschanel. Yeah, I feel like a bit of a...
Why?
I don't know. I just don't like saying it. I feel like I'm either saying it wrong or, you know, just call it Deschanel. You know what I mean?
Okay. And now let me ask you, because we watched this at Christmas, and I don't know if you've ever watched it. I think it is top three for me. Top
Christmas movies?
Definitely top five. Yeah.
Okay.
Christmas Vacation.
I haven't seen it. National Lampoon, Chevy Chase.
Yeah, yes.
I haven't had the pleasure.
Chevy. Oh, so good. Have you seen any other Griswolds?
I don't think so. I must have seen a couple, but like, I never really got into the National Lampoon franchise, to be honest.
I think there's four. I've only seen three. I never bothered to see Vegas.
I thought there was like 12 or something.
Well, it was always National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon 1, but that's nothing to do with... like the Griswolds, you know. There's like National Lampoon's Vacation, National Lampoon's European Vacation, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Like, what's that the series that you liked, like Club Dread or something?
Hey, Broken Lizard. Now we're talking. Right. Club.
I'm sorry,
Dread.
I brought it up. Anyway, go on back to National Lampoon.
Man, like Bill Paxton as Coconut Pete.
You had me at Paxton.
Pleasure Island the pleasure.
No, I haven't had the pleasure now, but I must check that one out next year because I keep hearing about it.
We watched it and it was like, it's, you know, mid-80s or, you know, 80, you know, 5 to 87, I think, around that time period.
Nice.
Like a young Elaine Bennis, no less, plays the yuppie neighbour who hates the Griswolds.
Brilliant.
She's great now, but it's just, I remember thinking, like, it's because it's so like stocked in the 80s, and it is like a time capsule, but it still works perfectly. Like, and he's such a like earnest kind of sap, for lack of a better term, like, you know, that like you're rooting for him, even though you're like, oh, he's an idiot.
There's something I find so endearing about 80s comedies like that, like that they're just set completely in their time. Like we were talking about The Burbs the other day, and you know, a few of these sort of ones where it's just like, you know, because you kind of, I don't know if it's just the age that we're at that we kind of remember life around that time, but like, I don't know what it is.
It was the kind of things that you would be watching.
Yeah, when it would have been on TV when we were kids. Yeah,
exactly. Like, so you think that's what life was like, but it's really the 90s was for us. Pretty much. Like,
But I'm trying to think, did I watch anything else myself? No, I only started watching that Soul movie, the one on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't finish it, but I'll be sure to report back with more info on that. But
I think promising. We're going to watch it. We're going to watch it over the next couple of days anyway.
Have you been up to anything else? Watching anything else?
No. What did we watch? No, I tell you what I watched, and it was, I'm sorry to bring the mood down, but I don't know if you heard the news. I don't know if you heard the news about a tragic death in the wrestling world.
Luke Harper.
Yes.
Ah, jeez, what happened?
Mental. Apparently he had like a lung issue that like...
COVID?
There was a guy that was like writing for one of the fucking pro wrestling... I think it's the Pro Wrestling Torch.
Yeah.
And like his wife came out and said it was specifically non-COVID related.
Right.
Thing. And then he was like, how do we know this, you know, it's a cover-up or whatever. And he's worked for this thing for 30 years. And basically, they sacked him for like negligent reporting because he was like trying to fan the flames of like...
Oh, really?
AEW were trying to cover this up. But they did a show for a celebration of life Brody Lee. Because he'd gone over to AEW.
Yeah.
And like he was this character in AEW where he was Mr. Brody Lee.
Right.
He was the leader of like the Dark Order, which is this kind of like... weird kind of culty group, but
kind of like Bray Wyatt-esque.
His character was kind of almost a play on Vince McMahon in that like he wore suits all the time and was a real alpha male and you know, berated his followers if they, you know, basically because I think it was because he still had a bit of bitterness left over from his WWE run.
Was he fired from WWE?
What's that?
Was he fired from WWE? I've lost him. He's gone. Hey, there he is.
Hey, you were the one that was gone.
No, it was you who's gone.
Yeah.
Was he fired from WWE, I was asking. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Still unstable.
2021, eh? Should we try a good old-fashioned Viber?
Yeah, okay.
All right, we're going to do this.
Better yet, even a Skype.
Skype has never worked.
I know, but let's roll the dice.
No, roll the dice. It's safety after, right. Not a new gamble.
Okay, I'm going to leave this meeting, okay?
Okay.
So, he wasn't fired in the end.
Right.
He basically wanted his release for, like, he'd been asking for his release and they wouldn't let him go. And then as his contract was coming up, he had been injured throughout the year. And they said, because you're injured, we're adding 6 months onto your contract. Some kind of loophole.
Right.
So it was just like a real acrimonious end.
That's a shame.
And then like he went to AEW and like he was like a big signing. And he was fucking... like he was always deadly in WWE. He was always my favorite Wyatt family guy.
Yeah.
But like he was next level in AEW. Like, and
brilliant.
He was like... champ, TNT champ and all, and he had a fucking amazing match with like John Moxley for the title, and then like he had his last match a while ago, he lost the title to Cody Rhodes, and then he was just off TV and people were saying he had an ankle injury or something like that, and then I just fucking
just get the news
was on Twitter on Saturday, and it was like Jericho had posted something. He's like, it's Saturday, you know what that means. Because that's what he was doing all the time when he was posting like every SmackDown and Raw. He was like, it's Monday, you know what that means. Or it's
right.
It's when he wasn't being used by them. It was kind of became his catchphrase.
Oh, right, okay.
So Jericho posted that, and he posted a picture of them when he was saying that, like, they were all on like a tour or something, and he was saying he was the only guy on the main roster that didn't have his own T-shirt.
Right.
So somebody went out and made 10 like Luke Harper T-shirts, and they all wore them. So it's a picture of, like, Jericho, Bray Wyatt, I think it's Cesaro, Roman Reigns, whatever. They're all like doing like muscle poses with his T-shirt. And I was like, that's a really weird thing to post. And then it was like a news alert or whatever. It was like, Jesus. He passed away. Like,
he's only 41, wasn't he?
Yeah, and they did a show, the AEW show, and it was so fucking like classy. You know what I mean? Like, it was like such a great tribute show. And I'm thinking to myself, like these guys who run AEW, like, they've given his son, who's like wrestling mad, they've given him a contract for when he's eligible to become a wrestler.
They retired
the belt that he had won, like the belt design, they've given it to the son and all that. Like, and it's
nice.
Like, you really get, like, it really hammers home, you know, wrestling is such a weird community of people that have all come together. Yeah. And like,
it seems a bit more like human or humane than WWE.
WWE is just like, the bottom line is,
yeah, we'll just
our
give you
branding,
our
stock price, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know,
we'll stick it in memory of at the start. And
that's what
they did.
They stuck it in memory of, and then a couple of people who were his friends on the roster kind of paid tribute to him by like doing moves of his, or like kind of.
Oh, right.
You know, like, but like on the AEW show, they had like, and I remember like Jericho was on commentary, and one of the first things he said, like, one of the wrestlers came out and he had like big red eyes, and he's like, oh, Colt Cabana, there, you're going to see a lot of red rimmed eyes tonight. And he's like, and it's okay to cry, damn it. And I was like, you would never get something like that on WWE.
Yeah.
Like, never. You know, like that kind of, we're actually all humans here. Like,
yeah. Because they're all just like, too scared to go against the script,
Vince, the Vince. Alpha,
yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. That is sad, but
it was sad, but it was, I have to say, it was a great show, and it made me be like I'm almost complete, if I'm gonna watch any wrestling now, it's AEW, really. Yeah. Like,
it sounds excellent,
it's really good.
Can I talk to you perchance about The Simpsons at all, or is there any more?
Of course. No. Like I was saying, eat, drink, be merry. There was a lot of that, you know. Nice Christmas. Yeah. Still a few days left to go.
Now, before I do continue, can I ask you a almost rhetorical question? Are you glad to see the back of 2020?
I sure am, but like, it's going to be much of the same.
I kind of think that
for
too.
The
I
first think... 3 months, maybe. Like,
yeah.
I think March will probably get a.
I was only saying to you off, before we started, that was like I haven't really been watching the news as of late. I've kind of been kind of keeping up a bit on Twitter, just doing what I have to do and whatever, you know, whatever the thing, whatever the guidelines are, you know, if there's anything new, it filters in. But I was only watching the other day and it was like, and schools will be closed for an extra week and everything that we said would happen isn't happening. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
What? It was one of those, there's only been a couple of times since March where I've seen something on the news and like my natural reaction is just to kind of laugh, but like it's not like it's not funny, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just to laugh at, like, I can't believe this is the situation we're in. And like, it was kind of like one of those where I'm just like, even 10 minutes after we'd finished the news, it was just like, like, I don't believe this. And they had the gall to finish with like, oh, Matt Damon, residents in Dorky are hoping Matt Damon comes back. And it was like, what are they doing giving us this show?
It was like, and this... like, we tuned in to watch the fucking Taoiseach there. I don't know if you saw his speech.
I've
Mr. Burns
snippets.
Himself, like,
no,
I fucking hate him. Like, and he like,
all...
he's like specifically pointed out like the numbers are rising in the 19 to 24. I'm like, fuck you, like, you know?
I've seen a good tweet where it was like, the government 2 weeks ago, go out and spend in the shops, like, government today, I can't believe you just went out to spend in the shops.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
They don't know. It's, like, nobody knows what to do unless the vaccine works. Like, they're just going to suddenly just...
Yeah, I think it'll be a tough month or two. I could see us, you know, till the end of February kind of being locked down. Like, I work in a hospital. I don't know what the procedure... It's a private hospital, but, like, you know, it could be a case of, again, that, like, the private hospitals are going to have to supplement some of the public hospitals again because the numbers now are bigger than ever, like...
Do you know what it was today, by any chance? Are you still there? Do you know what it was today, by any chance?
1750.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Some new
stay indoors.
Some new British strain, apparently.
Fucking tans.
Bloody tans. I should have known.
Yeah.
Even when it was the bears.
Even when it was the Chinese. Even when it was the Chinese, I knew it was the English. Right, that's going to get me in trouble. Anyway. Let's get into the episode.
Well, Terry, in talk particular, to me. Can I talk to you about the 15th episode about The Simpsons' 7th season, Bart the
Hell
Fink?
Yes.
Airing on the Fox Network, February 11th, 1996, almost 25 years ago. Well, not to the day, really, it's a month away, but... It finished 64th in the ratings with a Nielsen rating of 8.7 and was the 5th highest rated show on Fox that week, following Melrose Place, X-Files, Beverly Hills and Married with Children.
Married with Children, making a comeback, all right.
Yeah. Now,
I've been the big four.
Yeah, right. I've only got two sort of nuggets, but they're kind of lengthy, so bear with me here, right? It was written by John Swartzwelder, but Bob Cushell, I'm going to pronounce it, came up with the idea for it based on the big tax problems.
Like the toilet roll?
Oh, yes. Spelled with a K, though.
I see.
with the big tax problems of celebrities like Willie Nelson had at the time. The idea of Krusty faking his own death was an idea that the production team had wanted to do for a long time and was inspired by the rumours that American actor Andy Kaufman faked his death. And Oakley and Weinstein, they had thought at the beginning of the episode where the family spends the night in a haunted house would have been the cruddiest beginning of any cruddy thing if they had not added the twist that the family did not encounter any ghosts and had the best night's sleep ever.
I love it.
Yeah, it was great. And then consultant David Merkin suggested that the animator should add some funny things, in inverted commas, to the episode to, in inverted commas, spice it up, such as the gorilla suit that one of the bank employees wear. After the audio recording of the script by the cast, the episode ended up being too long. Weinstein said one of the reasons for it was that Krusty talks very slowly, which I didn't really ever think, to be honest, was the case.
No.
But hey-ho. They
have a joke of him talking too quickly for his own recording, even like...
Exactly, right? So I kind of thought, like, I don't really get that. But anyway, they were only allowed to send 20 minutes worth of audio to Film Roman for them to animate, but the audio track for the episode was 26 minutes long. American actor Bob Newhart guest stars, and he also talks very slowly, so they had to cut more than half of his recorded lines. Many of the writers were big fans.
I tell you, what they left in was pure gold.
It was dynamite, wasn't it?
Yeah, really good.
They were big Newhart fans and everybody wanted to see him record the lines. So Oakley and Weinstein decided to shut down production. We're shutting down production so that the whole writing staff could go to the recording studio. And the episode was recorded in a large room which required everybody there to be very quiet, which I just love. I'd love to see the footage of that.
I love the idea of that. Like, that's real, like, old Hollywood shit.
Yeah, almost. Right.
Like, you know, like, we all want to come see this legend.
Yeah, and it took him 2.5 minutes to record the first take, and because no one was allowed to laugh during the time, there was an explosion of laughter in the room when he finished. And parts of Phil Hartman's appearance as Troy McClure were also cut due to time limits. But to be honest, a lot of that was kind of seamless. I would never have picked up on any shortening, or it seemed to flow quite nicely. So, but to be honest, that's all I got, Terry.
Shall we get into your notes?
Please. Let me just bring them up here.
Unbelievable.
You think I'd be prepared? Actually,
the level of unprofessionalism with you.
The first laugh of the episode I got was just the name Aunt Hortense.
Yeah. Poor Aunt Hortense.
Aunt Hortense. Woo-hoo. Is Hortense a word?
Yeah, Hortense is a name.
Is it?
Yeah. Hortense, the mule face gal.
And then, like we said, great gag of them going in. You're like, yep, I love, there's no such thing as ghosts.
I love this, like, best night's sleep I ever had.
And your man, and I will say about this episode, there's a lot of great voice acting from the side characters here.
Like, not a little, like, ringers or whatever you want to call them. That, like,
you know, your man, just, the guy who was reading the...
The executor.
Yeah. He's like, I must have continued talking after I left the after you left the office.
It's just standard clause. Now, he appears in one other episode as a divorce attorney, this character.
Ooh.
For when Manjula decides to divorce Apu when he is having the affair with the squishy lady, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. One of the later, he was early seasons, but later.
Later, yeah. I think it's like 12 or, you know. Yeah. But like, he is like, can I ask, are there any children involved? And she's like, 8. And he's like, excuse me. And like jumps up on his table, like, no. Doing like a little tap dance.
Really? Yeah. My next note was, I want to see what the taco mat looks like.
It, what? Just like,
from the name alone, the taco mat. Sounds so unappealing.
Yeah. And then I love the idea of Bart being like, a hundred.
Such tacos. A waste of money. He'd eat 4 tacos and he'd be done.
Yeah. Now, but they do pull it back around with like comic book guy being like, this should get me through the Doctor Who marathon.
Yeah. And Lisa wants to help fund public broadcasting. I like the fact that Marge is like, I won't have you throwing your money away.
I just love like Marge's like, tacos, public broadcasting. Like, fuck off.
And then so she makes them put the money in the bank, and the voice on the guy in the ape suit, I love it.
Are you folks ready to go ape?
Oh, that. These ridiculous premises, like, and the guy when he's actually sitting down with him is like, and you'll find that saving for your future is more thrilling than any roller coaster.
Really? Bart's like, so we get this brings you to like Bart with the checks.
Yeah,
and like I did like the line with Lisa. He's like, I got the regular. What is it? The thrifty savings account. She got the 2.3 interest instead of the 2.25. But like when Barrett writes the check to Milhouse, like $1 million.
Yeah,
he's like, now that's a post-dated check. Don't cash until the year 10,000. I burst out laughing at the line. Like, the year 10, and he's 10, like, okay, and he's,
and checks he's just, like, his watch.
At his watch, like.
It was brilliant. And then and like he's so he's going around town cashing out these bum checks, so Jimbo will let him go when the check clears. And like I have to say, even when I was a kid watching this, I used to love the idea of having a checkbook, because my dad had checkbooks, and I thought like that'd be so cool to have your own custom checkbooks or whatever, you know what I mean?
Like, it's mad that like very few people would write a check these days.
Yeah,
I still like the idea of like writing somebody a check. I have to
say,
my
dad still writes checks.
Does he?
That my ass can't cash.
Can't. There you go. You got there. It's like,
but there's something satisfying about that tear of the check as you pull it out.
And even just like the, you know.
Yeah.
That but was like me, like.
Yeah.
Straightening out a check.
Straightening it out. Or when he gives it to Lisa, just a little like fold and push down. Thank you.
Thank you. But it's nice to get a check, I have to say.
Yeah. The guy... hang on. Oh, never mind. Oh, Jesus.
I just got a text
that completely threw me. Yes?
Man United are 1-0 up at the moment.
Yeah, I knew. Thanks.
Half time.
How do you know that? You got a match on there?
No, I don't. I
literally, as I said it, you looked up at the match.
No, well, hold on. I'll open my Sky Go now.
See the reflection in your eyes.
Now downloading Sky Go. How about that?
Downloading Sky Go. Downloading things. Well, no wonder the podcast's not working. And I noticed when the podcast was off for that minute or two when we were trying to have those technical problems, United just scored. And I know that it's related in some way. I don't know how.
I will tell you, I can't control Man United. I've been keeping up on the BBC tracker, okay? I haven't got on front because I know it upsets you so, okay?
It does, Terry. Yeah. Now, do you not have live score?
This week. Live score sucks. I like the text. Why? I like to see, if we roll back the text here, breakthrough, a lovely pass by Marcus Rashford sets Aaron Wan-Bissaka away down the right, and his excellent cross finds Anthony Martial and beats two Aston Villa defenders to head past Emi Martinez. 1-0.
You're breaking up. Even talking about Man United is affecting the Wi-Fi.
Can't handle it. He has, a month later, he has... Oh, he wants to get Krusty. Sorry, he wants to get Krusty's autograph.
I did like the line of Krusty where he's like, they're naming a new sandwich after me at my restaurant. Of course they would. But like when Bart goes in, like when he realizes that he's stamped it Cayman Islands offshore holding company, like I like the fact that, like, first of all, the guy on the phone with exploding through the roof.
Yes, I love it. Such a great visual.
He's got a house on him, wearing it like a barrel, like he's exploding through the roof. But they're also serious, like.
Yeah, and the guy in Bart's Bank is like wearing antlers on his head.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I like the fact that Bart hands in the check at like 2:01, and by 2:04 they're breaking into Krusty's house. I pay for that popcorn fare.
I just love your man. He's like, no, it's fine. People stamp checks all the time instead of writing his name. He's just stamped the name of his Cayman Islands. So, excuse me.
and of course,
the guy.
It brings one of the most memorable jokes of all time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't divulge information about that customer's secret illegal account. Oh, crap. I shouldn't have said it was a customer. Oh, crap. I shouldn't have said it was a secret. Oh, crap. I certainly shouldn't have said it was illegal. Ah, it's too hot today.
So, like, he is up there with, like, probably my second favorite, like, big fat guy on The Simpsons. Number one.
Let me try and guess the first.
Okay, yeah, try and guess it.
Have we covered it yet?
No.
Because I was going to say, with a man in the White House.
Oh, Franz.
Franz.
Dennis Franz. That's Homer Simpson.
Yeah. Who is it then?
Welcome to my maison, Chief. Big Daddy.
That was great.
Look, Big Daddy. It's really Big Daddy. And like, oh Lord, I wish I weren't so fat. And by the way, I can't wait till we get to that episode.
Where he's running to his chair and turns around and then turns back like he's been waiting for him the whole time. Oh, it's so brilliant.
What else have I got here? Principal Skinner, Skinny Boy.
The bank teller, like, by the end of the day, Bart's still standing there. Just, I don't know what it is about the way he's like, oh, kid.
Yeah, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, he's one of the biggest tax cheats in history. And they nailed him. All thanks to you. Some might say you're a hero, kid. Not me, though. I love Krusty.
I love Krusty. like, the next time, this always sticks in my head of... Go on.
Brockman.
He's like, Krusty the Clown. I think of that all the time.
Yeah. I don't say evasion. I say avoidion.
it's like classic, like, unprofessional Channel 6 news.
Yeah. And I love that where, like, Krusty is like, I got a swanky lifestyle. I'm used to the best. I can't go to jail. Like, Krusty, this is America. We don't send our celebrities to jail. We're just gonna garnish your salary. And like him just going like, you're gonna garnish my salary? Like, please, Krusty, no please, jokes. Krusty. Who's joking? I don't know what you're saying. Oh God.
Now, this is the first time that I actually got that because of the subtitles. I never noticed that, like, because he said the first time, obviously, he says salary, and Krusty's like, "You're gonna garnish my salary." Yeah. I never got that. But and
I
then
did love when, the voice when Homer's, of go man on. Two. It just means we're simply going to be taking a portion of your salary for until your debt is repaid. Say 75% for 40 years.
I don't plan to live that long.
Better make it 95%. Like, it's that typical, like, nasally, oh. Like, like, well, it's a pleasure to be here, Krusty. Like, yeah. And that's what I love about this episode. Like, it's such a, like, almost tragic story, but Krusty is so, such a larger-than-life, over-the-top character that, like, it's really sad, but also really hilarious.
This is one of the best, I think, like, Krusty dealing with celebrity life episodes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a few, like, and I think this is one of my favorites.
Like, Krusty episodes are weird. Like, you know, because... Yeah. Like sometimes they can be really strong, and then sometimes, like, I always think back to one that as a kid I thought was great, and then when we did it on the podcast I was like, huh, was the one where he gets cancelled.
Krusty gets cancelled, you know,
and like that to me did not hold up.
No,
because
not at all.
like you said, it was just a bunch of like
two jam-packed
bits and pieces. There's some good jokes in it, don't get me wrong, but like whereas I think of this one and I think of the one with Canyonero, where he's like not a comedian anymore or whatever, and like I think those are two really strong Krusty episodes that you would say they're all time classics. Like,
yeah, definitely. And I this one as well, like a lot of the, well, not all the time, but in this one anyway, it's like there's not very much of the Simpsons barring Bart and Lisa in this. Like, Homer is not really in this too much. Like, Krusty's almost really the main, like, there's no side story here. There's no, you know, this is the big one.
And I do like that when they drop the Simpsons in, like, they're, you know, they're using the jokes and they're like kind of hitting it out of the park, where it's like, you know, the next scene is the IRS burger.
That's great.
And he's like Homer being like with the glasses, he's like, "I'll have 4 tax burgers, 1 IRS switch, withhold the lettuce, 4 dependent sized sodas, and a Ficuccino."
It's like withhold, even a little
withhold. I think that's great. Like, and it's like, "You should receive your burgers in 6 to 8 weeks." And Homer just doing the maths then, like, and he's like, "Marge, what was your gambling losses last year?" Like, $700.
Like Homer's not even like, normally Homer would be like 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah,
like, he's just like, okay, well, that's how
this is the government, you know. I know I'm dealing with the government.
And then when they're auctioning off Krusty's memorabilia for pittance, like, some of them are great, where, like, first of all, the auctioneer was like, "I got 40 here, 40 here, sold for $40. And, like, his pornography is sold for, what, 12 cents. He's like, "I only brought a dime. I didn't know there'd be pornography."
"My beloved pornography." Like, "I'm going to bed. How much for Krusty's bed?" "Half a buck." So, like, so, good night, everybody.
Good night.
It's like, this is like a sitcom that it turns into for like a brief, like, 2 minutes sojourn is like, what is going on here? And like selling his plane, the "I'm on a roller gay."
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I mean, it's great writing, but it's just always in my head. Whenever I think of Dean Martin, whenever Dean Martin is mentioned, I always think of, like, "I used to fly to Vegas in it with Dean Martin. One time we were flying and the moon in his eye like a big pizza pie. We wrote a song about it. It turns out it infringed on one he wrote years earlier."
That's a classic Simpsons joke.
Yeah, it's really, like, you get there and then we're just going to tack the actual joke on right at the very end. Like,
And then, so Krusty's just, like, no one is, like, barring Bart, seems to give a shit about Krusty's downfall. He's just sitting there drinking out of like a brown paper bag, and like, for whatever reason, the line always sticks to me, where he's like, "I was a big cheese, a huge cheese.
Love it. Like, and like, again, like, and this is quite a serious scene in that, like, Krusty almost punches Bart in the face, like, all, like, and you can see the hands
twitching,
shake,
like,
as
he's
in,
gonna,
like,
do it.
And imagine if he had have hit him, he would have, like, caved in his skull, like.
And even just the serious way where he's like, ah, get out of here, kid.
Yeah, you know, like, really good. And like, I think like Krusty is the best character to do kind of serious stuff with.
Yeah.
Like, even
he's
if
the
you
most
go back
sort of
to,
believable, I think, in that.
Yeah,
like,
but like
down on his luck character.
Like, and if you go back to the like, the episode with his father is a very serious topic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, and they make actually, it work yeah. because he's such a tragic character. Like, he's yeah. this weird.
You know, he's
like,
kind of like a hollow, like fame hungry, like
yeah,
chill.
He,
you know,
but like, yeah, and the reason he got into the business is like that, like he wanted to, you know, to. Make people he was desperate for attention that he didn't get yeah. from his dad, essentially, like what yeah. you know, because his dad is too busy being a rabbi, too busy being serious.
Yeah. And especially later on in the episode, there's more. I'll wait till the end, but like at the end I was definitely left feeling like a little bit like, huh. But anyway, we'll get to it when we get to it. But when he's in the plane going over again, another mountain just mysteriously appears in Springfield that you never see.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably up by the Springfield sign, you know.
This one, like, I guess it's near like the Springfield Gorge or something. You could pass it yeah. off as it's more believable than a giant mansion across the street, like the Two Bad Neighbors
that's
episode.
That still works though, because it just works for that episode. And you're,
that's it.
Because the episode is already heightened having George Bush in it. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's just one of those
makes
episodes.
Sense. You Wiggum, get the little
like,
gag. Oh well, you get the gag with Skinner and Chalmers first, and then
I never understood why Chalmers was like angry at Skinner. Like Skinner opens his front door, and it's his mother and Chalmers about to walk in, and he's like, "Seymour." He's like, Chalmers is furious. Like Skinner, it's his house.
I mean,
it's his mother.
Dent in that pussy, like you know.
Oh, Terry.
Chalmers trying to get laid.
That beer makes you. That's body, Terry.
Yeah, it's Friday
body,
night, man.
George.
Friday night, it was late. I was working at home. Hold me down to wait.
But Wiggum, where he's like, nothing to see here, folks. And it's the way he's like, oh my God.
Hey,
I'll play you.
Get around.
It's like, don't be shy, get around.
Yeah, I love it. Like,
and. Like when they get to
like Christy's dead.
Yeah, Christy's funeral then, and like Bob Newhart just standing there, and he's like,
"Well, first of all, like I love the Bob, the Sideshow Mel, and he's like, we'll miss you, Krusty." He's like all the sideshows, except for Sideshow Bob, and like the Rogues Gallery that they have there, like all the people that have been mentioned throughout the years.
Yeah. But like
then,
the giant statue where it's like, see you real soon, kids.
I don't know. I think it's great. Like, I think that looks really good. Like, but, with Bob Newhart.
It's like he takes so long to get out the fact that he's actually killing time. And then, Troy McClure's like, I'll handle it. Bob Newhart.
Yeah. And like, well, just like his lines.
He's got to have improvised that big
time. God, like, I mean, all of us.
But I always think, all of us, even though a lot of us, you know, we didn't watch his show.
I started my career. I started my career several years before him. I mean, you know, from him, but you know what. And then I just love that, like, Troy being like, we'll be sitting shiva at the Friars Club at 7 and again at 10. It's like, you must be over 18 for the 10 o'clock show. It gets a little blue.
There's
like,
a line that I use a lot.
Yeah. But, like, for now in my life, at this stage, knowing what the Friars Club is.
What is the Friars Club?
The Friars Club is where they do the roasts, essentially.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like, or where they used to do with those roasts. So, like, that line makes way more sense that you could just imagine a bunch of Jewish comedians, you know, sitting there, like,
just being
giving it loads. Yeah, exactly. Like,
now I thought that was my man Croz in the front row for a while of that funeral, but apparently it's I think it's John Swartzwelder. They said
he
was animated in with the hand puppet of Kermit the Frog or whatever. Because I was thinking, like, it looks like Crosby, but he's got orange hair. How's that drink, Terry? I saw that wince.
I took too much in, that's all. took too big a gulp. Now, the question I have here is when Bart starts seeing... Well, first of all, the speech Homer has with Bart. He's like, people die all the time. Well, you could wake up dead tomorrow, just like that. Well, good night.
It's the extended stare of like, well, you could wake up dead tomorrow. Like, wide-eyed, just staring at him. Well, good night. And the fact that Bart's pulling on the Krusty doll, where it's like, like, how are they happy to put that out as a bit of merchandise?
So, like, he's basically, he starts seeing Krusty around the place. And, like, my whole thing is, like, if you faked your death, like, what, like, you're not staying around Springfield.
Yeah, you'd move away.
Yeah, surely. That's the whole point. Like, and I think it would have been better if, like, say they had let, say they did like a title card like 3 months later or something, and like they were on a trip to another county or whatever like that. Yeah. And they see him there, and it kind of becomes like
to take your mind off it. Like, we'll go to visit whatever, and then
you see Krusty there, as opposed to like you just see him driving around
the next
like
day.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, you know,
I do agree. Like, even if they're still in Springfield, just do it 3 months later or something.
Or something, because
it's a little too just, fitting into a neat little package.
Yeah. I did like when he's asking Lisa. She's like, "Oh, you're seeing him everywhere because you think you're responsible for his death. Like, would you like me to tell you you're not responsible?" He's like, "Yes, Lise, yes." It's like, "Well, I'm sorry, I can't." Yeah. He's like, "You'll just have to learn to live with your mental problems."
So they're going, Bart's seeing them everywhere. Conveniently, whenever Bart goes to think about things, he's seeing Krusty. So they go to like the docks.
Because he sees Krusty carrying nets. Motion sickness pills and scuba diving. Yeah, when he sees Krusty scuba diving.
Yeah, exactly. And so then they go to the docks, and then like Dancing Pete. How could they not like that's so Krusty.
So good. Like, but it's so. Oh, he's like, he's like, it's just Krusty, just smaller. Like,
yeah, slightly more distorted.
Yeah.
And then is it a case that they. He sees a check, like, don't accept a check from these people?
Yes, yeah. Right. So, like, he's already, like, a deadbeat. Like,
giving himself a bad name.
Now, I did like the gag. I never got it before. But it's like, we've looked up and down these docks from Pier 1 to that Pier 1 up by Pier 17.
Now, I didn't... I knew there was something
Pier
there.
1 is a shop. Pier 1 is a shop.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there's, like... No, I only got it because I picked it up from watching other TV shows that, like, they've gone to Pier 1 to get something or whatever. I think it's, like, a clothes shop, like a Gap or something like that. But
I knew
like,
there was something I was missing.
Yeah, it's good, like...
But, like...
It's good, Andy.
I kind of felt bad for Krusty because, like, when they clearly know it's him, and he's, like... They're saying, like, you have the same pacemaker scar, you have the same third nipple and all that. And, like, he's saying, like, can't you see I don't want to be Krusty anymore? And he's like, I don't need money to be happy. I got everything I need right here. And I'm thinking, like, he does kind of seem at that point anyway, like, that he is actually happy.
Content.
And he's actually learned for the first time in his life to be happy without money. And, like, but Bart and Lisa just want him back on their TV.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and it's very selfish, if I may say, from Bart and Lisa.
I did love, like, he's like, I'm Rory Bellows, I tell you, and I got a lot of corroborated evidence right here by the throttle. It's like,
I like his voice.
Yeah.
It's almost like Homer when Marge kicked him out. Like, it's obviously it's the same voice actor, but I got those distinct sort of vibes that, like, slightly overgrown beard. The voice was very similar.
Muffling.
Now, was this bit in it when you were watching it where he's like, I just need the sounds of, I can't remember what it is, the GPS tracker.
Global positioning system.
Yeah. And then, like, it shocks him and he throws it into the water. He's like, tell me where you are now, you bastard.
That was never in it before.
Yeah.
But it was in Disney Plus version. Like, that one was always kind of cut.
yeah,
for time, or just because he used the word bastard. Yeah. I did love it. He's like, it just distracted me from my true calling in life, salvaging sunken barges for scrap iron.
Like, true calling.
Yeah,
I do like the fact that they keep consistent with the fact that when Krusty says in an earlier episode, I got news for you, this ain't makeup.
Yeah,
like when he's in the water, like he's obviously put on normal looking like skin color, I guess. So
and
I like
then
that.
like they play to him, you know, the phonies, because he has no real friends, like you say.
Yeah,
so like he needs the phonies there. Well, his only friend is Mel, really, who he treats like shit.
You never speak to me outside of work.
But then, like, yeah, so he kind of just, he jumps, Bart gives him the speech where he's like, what about being an illiterate clown is still more respected than all the educators in the country put together? Mm. Not true, I
100% not true, even in the Springfield world, not true. And then I did get a little chuckle at the end when he's like kind of cackling laughter when he's like, the life of Rory B. Bellows was insured for a surprising amount. And then like he's like, and then you just hear, there's something out of context about that laugh.
Yeah. But like my question is like, how is Krusty, who's dead, going to claim Rory B. Bellows? Yeah, how's he going to claim Rory Bellows life insurance? Like,
there's so many new
probably
sense
true is Cayman Islands, yeah. You know,
I never really thought of that. One, how does he ever explain that he faked his death, and two, how is he getting that insurance money?
But a lot of good stuff in this one, I gotta say.
Well, shall we save it, Terry, for the rating segment, which incidentally is coming up right now.
Right now
we want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something, Mr. Scientist. What's your final thoughts on it?
I love this episode, I gotta say. I knew it was gonna be good coming up, and it did not disappoint. Ooh. One iota. Like Krusty is such a good character that we actually haven't had a lot of him in a while.
Yeah.
So like, it's great to get an episode around him, and like, just he's such a bombastic guy. There's so many good jokes, but still a really good story in it as well. We talked about it last week, how like they were trying to marriage, you know, the story and the jokes, and they focus more on the emotional story. And like, this is the other example of doing it really well, I think.
Yeah.
And it's an emotional story that like you feel certain things for Krusty and what he's going through in it, but also fucking loads to laugh at, I thought. Yeah. Like, there's just so
It's very hard to get the balance so spot on, where it's sort of like you've got good laughs, but you've also got like real good story and good heart and all that sort of stuff. It's a real, like, they can't do that every week, you know what I mean?
No. And yet I was looking at the list of episodes this season. It's been a very strong season.
Oh, it's been probably the strongest, I think, so far.
I think so. The most consistent. Yeah. And I'm sure the ratings probably reflect that, but like,
yeah.
Like, I thought this one was great. My MVP is gonna have to be Krusty.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, you know,
the rating. That's what we're here for. Today.
Oh, sorry, I'm gonna give it an 8. You know what? I'm gonna give it a 9.
No, 9 on the dot.
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice. That is your.
It's joint.
Joint second highest.
Wow, yeah, I love that. I thought it was great, and like it's just, I don't know, there was just so many bits that like had me laughing. Like, it's a lot of clever jokes in it, like the Bob Newhart, like the use, you know, that always actually bumps it up a few points for me. If they can use as a guest star, like,
well,
the most perfect way, and like, like when I always think back to Ernest Borgnine as like a perfect example of like a great.
But it didn't just become that's the episode. It just happens to be like, you know, like, it's not advertised as like featuring blah blah blah.
But that's the best thing, because you couldn't advertise featuring Bob Newhart.
Yeah,
you know, like that's what makes it that much better. And then like the fact that he's like just rambling off, you know.
I definitely find the best guests are the ones who aren't like current megastars. You know what I mean? Like, it's those older ones or, you know, like whatever, but just some people who aren't like exactly front and center right now. Yeah. I'd be inclined to agree with you, to be honest. I will also give it to my man, Krusty the Clown. And yeah, I can't really argue. It was a lot of heart, a lot of laughs. I would give it a rating, if you're asking, of 8.6. That's 8.6. So pretty good for me. And yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it now, I have to say.
Just to give you an update, Man United have gone 2-1 up.
Yeah, I know. I knew there was something going on, so I checked the score because I could tell you were looking down. You were looking at your phone. So I looked at my phone.
Like, I've been looking at my phone the whole podcast. I got the script down there.
Choking on my own right there.
Should we get our plugs in?
Please. I'll buy you a couple of minutes airtime and I'll tell them where they can find us.
They find us?
Well, if you'll let me finish.
Will you tell the good people where they can find us?
It's at Put It
In Age. Well, I love our guys.
Put It In Age podcast, Instagram, Twitter. You can email us, Put It In Age pod, different name, at gmail.com. I haven't checked the email in months.
Why don't you give it a check there while I'm telling the good folks that they can also find us over on Patreon. That's where the good stuff is happening, folks, behind that $5 paywall. That's all it takes to get in behind the velvet rope. Ooh. To become a member of our Players Club. Huh, you like that, Andy? Yeah.
I do like it. I keep meaning to change it.
Yeah, well,
okay. It is now the Players Club. I'm totally on board with that.
Great.
I think I egg one.
Well, if you are a member of our Players Club, you get 4 extra podcasts a month. You get 2 of our patented sister podcasts, What's So Great About, where we are barreling down the end of our first mini-maxi series. Ooh. Because
nice.
It's been like, what, 23 movies?
Yeah.
Of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and we are finally at the end. It is Spider-Man Far From Home is our latest outing on that. And then you also get 2 other bonus podcasts. It can vary on topics. Stuff like The Last Dance.
Relating to movies, music.
If there's topical stuff in the, you know, offing. That's what we did on The Last Dance. We did our one on...
Dreamcast was a particular fond one where we came up with our own movies, who's starring in them, how the plot went. And I think there's a part 2 of that coming quite soon. I enjoyed that quite a lot.
We haven't done we've been focusing on getting Marvel kind of wrapped up before Christmas. And we also dropped a lovely little Christmas present for our Players Club there. We dropped a mammoth recording, a 3-hour commentary on Avengers Endgame. Mm-hmm. So you'll get a regular Avengers Endgame podcast, and you'll get a recording when you get to see Andy, you get to see and hear Andy's reaction to that amazing movie.
You know what? I only watched it again 2 days ago.
Yeah, Avengers Endgame.
Yep. And I have some questions, actually.
You've watched that movie only 1 less time than I have now at this stage.
Unbelievable.
Look at this. Like,
I tell you what, Thor absolutely knocks it out of the park.
That's why he's the second best Chris.
The second best Chris?
Yes.
After Chris Evans?
Of course.
I put him ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's close.
He gives me more. You know,
does he, though?
Chris Evans is too... You know, we've been over this. He's too Mr. Goody.
But whenever we get to fit Knives Out onto one of our series, you'll see Chris Evans.
I don't agreeing to this. I want more Chris Hemsworth, if anything.
well, let's say we do, like, What's So Great About Murder Mysteries or something like that. You can guarantee a Knives Out will be in there. Mm. And you'll get to see Chris Evans being a potty mouth. Chris Evans.
You have to really have a proper conversation.
Well, the ball is in your court for the next one.
That's excellent. I'm going to give it some proper thought now. So you can join us all, over there. Thank you very much to everyone who already has. Means a lot to us. And if they don't want to do that, Terry,
If you don't want to do that, they can fuck off. But if you can't afford to do that, well, that's a different thing altogether. If you can't afford it, that's fine. Because I know it's tough times out there for everybody. If you can't afford it, you know what? Do me a solid. It's a new year.
Jump off the bridge.
It's a new you. Give me 5 stars, all right? That can be your New Year's resolution. How about that? I pledge to give Terry a 5-star review every week for 52 weeks of the year.
Or I think it just allows it the once, but hey, you can get it out of the way.
Make a new account every week and give me a 5-star review. No, make a new account, 5-star review every week.
That's what I did when we started the podcast. I created the second.
Shut up.
You'll never get the name. It's got Andy in the name, so it's kind of a giveaway.
Andy Canwell.
Yes, that'll do. But yes, and again, thank you to everyone who has given us a rating.
Yes,
and they've all been 5 stars, really, so thank you very much. You don't see that a lot now.
5 stars only, remember?
You don't get a lot of people whoring themselves out for 5-star reviews,
remember
too.
That slogan? Yeah, you do. Yeah. Every other podcast you listen to is saying, give me a, don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, all that shite. So,
yeah, true.
It's
they don't make it a bit like we do, huh?
It's the unwritten handshake agreement, you know?
You listen.
Hand job agreement.
Right. I tell you what, I like this, Terry.
Yeah. Hey.
Filthy Terry.
What about guys?
On that note, Terry,
we'll probably wrap it up there. We will. I want to get into the habit of thanking Dankmus again for his theme song.
We should probably do it at the start.
Actually, you're right. Thank you, Dankmus. You can find his stuff on YouTube,
SoundCloud, everywhere.
Yeah, he's
Nicky
great.
Spotify.
Ooh, Dankmus. And we will see you back next week for Lisa the Iconoclast.
Oh, I always thought iconologist. Is that a word?
Oh, is it iconologist? Sorry, I thought it was. They're two separate words. They're two separate words.
Tune in next week. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
I'm an antiquarian, damn it.
Goodbye.